Hi, this is Dr. Bill Meyer. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. You can hear the show live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., and there are many more podcasts for this and all our other faith radio shows available on our website. You can just go to myfaithradio.com. And thanks so much for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
He's a psychologist, an author, and a veteran broadcaster. But most importantly, he's a dad. Welcome to Dr. Bill Meyer Live on the Faith Radio Network. Stay tuned for a faith and culture connection, a biblical perspective on current events, and practical family advice with psychologist Dr. Bill Meyer. You can join the conversation by calling 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. Now, let's join Bill Meyer live.
Is it possible to teach your kids virtues through laughter rather than lecture? That's what we're going to be exploring today on Faith Radio. Thanks so much for joining me. It's great to have you with us on this weekend in the Upper Midwest. And we are going to be talking to a lady who has a fascinating background and really believes that we can teach our kids to be virtuous human beings, to grow in Christ through laughter, through giggles. Yes, it is possible. And I'm looking forward to chatting with her because we could use a little more laughter at our house right about now. We've been having a little bit of stress and strain over chores at the Meyer household. In fact, this morning, my wife and I were trying to get the kids to do their family chores, and unfortunately, there was quite a bit of resistance. So we're going to see if our guest, Courtney DeFeo, can help me motivate my kids to be a little more virtuous through laughter. We'll be joined by Courtney in just about 10 minutes here on Faith Radio, so stick with us. And, of course, as always, if you have any questions for Courtney or for me, you're more than welcome to give us a call. We also have three copies of Courtney's book to give away, which is called In This House We Will Giggle, Making Virtues, Love, and Laughter a Daily Part of Your Family Life. And if you give us a buzz here in the next 45 minutes or so, we would love to enter you into a drawing for a copy of one of those books. Now, as you probably know, if you've listened to this program before, one of the things that I love to do is check into some of the latest research on family life, on Christian growth, on just what it means to be a human being, a flourishing human being in this year of 2014. And I found something about family meals this week, which I wanted to pass along to you. You may have heard me mention before that family meals serve as a protective factor. The research is just overwhelming on this, that families that actually have dinner together at least five nights a week, that the kids from those families do better on just about every measure of well-being. Whether we are talking about academic success, those kids are more likely to graduate from high school, go on to college, whether we're talking about depression or anxiety, they're much less likely to have those problems. They're much less likely to be involved in drug or alcohol abuse, much less likely to get pregnant out of wedlock. The list goes on and on. Family meals are a great protective factor. And I found something else about family meals this week, which I wanted to share with you. And it has to do with the atmosphere at your family's dinner table. It turns out that a positive, relaxed dinner hour could actually improve your child's health. There's new research out showing that a positive, calm, friendly family meal. It's been a while since we've had one of those in our house. A positive, calm, and friendly. Well, we're friendly. Most of the time we're positive. The calmness, well, not so much at the Meyer house. But if you can do these things in your home, if you can foster that kind of an atmosphere, you may help your child avoid becoming overweight or obese. Yes, direct correlation between that type of atmosphere and your children's physical health as far as becoming overweight. This was actually done at the University of Minnesota, this research. What they did, the researchers there watched dozens of hours of video recordings of family meals. Jerrica Burge was the study author, and she says, in the households where kids were overweight, there was less of a positive atmosphere at the table. It was a little more chaotic overall. Now, Dr. Burge and her colleagues decided to figure out what occurs at a family meal that might influence that risk of obesity and whether some family meals might have a more positive effect than others. So what they did is they had these families record their meals using iPads, 120 families. Then they studied the video recordings. I'm so glad they didn't record my family because my kids, they're just sloppy eaters, frankly. Now, here's what they found after they examined all these videotapes. They found that normal weight children were more likely to have family meals during which the parents offered encouraging statements and everyone seemed to enjoy each other's company. Well, I'm glad to hear that because one thing my wife and I try to do is encourage our kids to build them up, not with false flattery, but really, you know, compliment their character when they display positive character traits. And yeah, in the Meyer house, everybody seems to enjoy each other's company most of the time. There are, I'm sure in your family, there's those meals where we have a little bit of sibling rivalry going on. Now, on the other hand, negativity at the table in these videotapes, the families that had, you know, arguments all the time and verbal put downs of their kids, those children seem to be more likely to have problems with their weight and to actually be obese. Here's something else interesting. The kids who were overweight had shorter meal times, less time sitting there at the table with their family, and they often ate in rooms other than the kitchen. And guess where they were most likely to eat? Yes, it was the family room, the den, the place where the television was on. And I've talked before about the impact of sitting and watching, of having a meal while you're watching TV, and how you don't even realize how much you are eating. That applies to adults as well as children. One other thing they found, which I love this, and it's a challenge, I must admit. The researchers found that the healthy weight children were more likely to have both parents present at family meals. Both mom and dad were there. So dads, this is a challenge to you. I know sometimes it's difficult to get home by dinner time, especially if you have a stressful job where the boss is, you know, putting a lot of pressure on you to produce. But man, this is just so important for your kids. Family meals should be a priority. If you have to go in earlier, if you have to take a short lunch hour, if you have to put in a little bit of work at home on weekends, which I don't recommend anyway, but get home for dinner. And moms and dads, you know what? If you are filling up your family's schedule to where every child needs, you know, his own daytime or his own smartphone calendar to keep track of all the different activities, take a realistic look, take a hard look at the schedule, because if you're not sitting down and having dinner together, or, you know, if dinner's impossible because of, let's say, high school sports right now, what about breakfast or what about dessert later? Find a way to sit down around the table. And it's not, you know, I mentioned this before, it's not the eating of the meal. It's actually the communication that goes on. And this research again backs that up. The positive communication that goes on around the table between mom and dad and siblings is just such an amazing, amazing protective factor for all families. So something to bear in mind, and maybe we'll talk to Courtney about that a bit and see what she does in her home as far as family meals. My guest, Courtney DeFeo, coming up here in just a minute on the Faith Radio Network. It's 11:12, and we hope you're having a great Saturday. If you will stick with us, we will be joined by Courtney here in just a little bit. And again, we have copies of her books to give away if you'd like to give us a call. And we'll put you into a drawing at the end of the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. We'll be right back.
It's Dr. Bill Meyer live on Faith Radio. Get ready to join the conversation. Now let's join Dr. Bill Meyer live.
And if you want to join us on the phone, our number is 877-93-FAITH, 877-93-FAITH. Our website, myfaithradio.com, where you can find out all about our weekend and weekday programming here at the Faith Radio Network. I encourage you to go there this week. And by the way, when you're at our website, don't forget, this is Pastor's Appreciation Month. October is Pastor's Appreciation Month, and we have a very cool contest going on right now. You could actually nominate your pastor to win a one-week retreat package to Sunscape Retreats. How cool would that be? You know, so many pastors work so hard and get so little affirmation. They get a lot of complaints. They get a lot of criticism from people in their congregation, unfortunately, and very few pastors really get the affirmation that they need and that they deserve for being a servant of Jesus Christ. And so go to our website, myfaithradio.com, and look for that little Sunscape retreat link there and sign up your pastor. And your pastor and his wife or her husband, if it's a female pastor, could be going to Sunscape Retreats on us. Wouldn't that be a cool way to celebrate fall? Well, my guest this hour is Courtney DeFeo. She is a popular blogger and the creator of ABC Scripture Cards, which were actually featured on The View. She is a graduate of Auburn University. She's worked in marketing for Chick-fil-A. Courtney and her husband, Ron, are the parents of two kids. And today she joins us to explore some of the great ideas for parents in her new book, In This House We Will Giggle, Making Virtues, Love, and Laughter a Daily Part of Your Family Life. Courtney, welcome to Faith Radio.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you. And before we dive into your book, I would love for our listeners to get to know Courtney as a person. Can you tell us, first of all, a little bit about your family?
Absolutely. I've got two girls. They are 5 and almost 8. In fact, I just left a birthday party full of almost 8-year-old girls. They were making cookies, icing, and wanting to eat all of them right there on the spot. So they're on a sugar high right now with their dad. And I've got a really patient husband that we met in marketing. So it's basically a big virtual brainstorm at our house at all times. And I'm worse than he is. He has to say, okay, go to sleep, honey. We'll try to create that product tomorrow. And you need to, you need to rest. So you'll get to know me and know that I don't think like most people. I'm a little bit ADD. And I just love to think about great things for our family. So we are in Florida near Orlando. So we love to visit Mickey and Minnie. And my husband's in the restaurant business, so we like to eat out. And we don't do it all just right. So I would love to get that known out of the gate, that when I share a lot of these ideas, just know that we are still working on them ourselves. Obviously, our girls are little, so we're a work in progress. But we love Jesus a whole lot, and we are hoping through this book and everything in my business that families just grow to know Jesus in a better way.
Mm. Well, our family is a work in progress as well, and so never fear. No condemnation here. Lots of grace, lots of acceptance. Now, you worked at Chick-fil-A for several years, and I love that company. I love their values, their commitment to quality, to good stewardship, and everything they do. Tell us a bit about your time there, if you would.
I sure would. I never thought it would be a difficult choice for me to walk away from a job to be a mom. I was raised in the home with a mom home all of the time, and I thought, well, that'll be easy. I'll just work after Auburn and enjoy my career, and then I'll stay at home with my kids like my mom did. And then when it came time, I thought, this is hard, because that company was everything that you read about in a positive sense. They're wonderful, and they really mean that they love people and that they want to have a positive impact on everyone they come in contact with. And so they really grew my faith. They grew me as a leader. They used to take us to Willow Creek Church, where Bill Hybels was, for leadership seminars. And I just thought, wow. I mean, they used to fly us to incredible leadership training. I worked on the Cal campaign for several years, so all the billboards and in-store POP, Cal calendar, and I helped start Cal Appreciation Day, which was a crazy idea 10 years ago that people would actually dress up like cows to get free food. And now there's 1 million customers doing that today. So sometimes those crazy ideas will actually work, and that's a campaign that's really close to my heart. And then after that, I decided to go into marketing training and just help the on-the-ground marketing folks figure out how to make that brand a reality in their own local marketplace, because that's when it works best, when the local customer can really connect with the people that are working there at each store and figure out, how do we involve that school that's on the street, and how do we make that customer that's a locally walking into that restaurant feel really loved in that community. And so I enjoyed my time there and then had a difficult choice to make to be home with my girls. And they've certainly been a part of my life and just grateful to have been a part of it.
Mm. Now, your VP of marketing at Chick-fil-A, David Salyers, recently spoke at a broadcasting convention. and showed the training video that Chick-fil-A uses to train all their employees, and at least one of the training videos. And this is the one with the bubbles, with the words over the customers' heads as they come into the Chick-fil-A. I'm guessing you're familiar with that particular video. Mm-hmm. Explain for our listeners what Chick-fil-A is trying to do in that video, because I believe as a Christian-owned company, a closely held family-owned company where they have Christian values, this is such a cool thing that perhaps a lot of our listeners aren't aware of, that what Chick-fil-A is trying to do through the training of its employees.
Yeah, I think a lot of what is so important is that our customers are known and that we just make emotional connections with them and meet their needs. And so that even before they get there, that we know their name, that we know their order. And if we overhear that their tire is flat, or we overhear that, you know, we see a mom with their arms full, that we know even what they're thinking before they get to the counter. And so I'm not too familiar with that exact video, but I know from my time there that it was just our service has always been known across the board, that if you work at Chick-fil-A, you know you're going to get a My Pleasure, you're going to feel welcome there, you're going to feel cared for. But they're continually challenging the team to ramp it up even more. So I've had some amazing experiences there as a mom where I thought, I didn't think Chick-fil-A was capable of moving it up a notch even more, that they're caring for me so much and even meeting my needs before I even know that I need them as a customer, and remembering my name and my girls' names and what they like with their meal, and that they like that particular side ranch or whatever. And so you do feel like a part of the family, even as a customer or a former employee, and it's just a special place. It really is.
Now, did working for Chick-fil-A prepare you at all for parenthood? Because you made that major transition from a career woman, you know, kind of climbing the corporate ladder, to being a full-time mom, which you mentioned was a challenge, particularly because you left such a great company. But did some of the values, some of the things you learned at Chick-fil-A, have you been able to incorporate them into your own role as a mom?
Absolutely. And I think I joked about this before, that marriage cracked open the door to how selfish I was, and parenting just drop-kicked it straight open, that, wow, I was really self-absorbed. And I think when you work at Chick-fil-A, they are so humble, and they just make it known that it's actually not about you, and it's about that local operator, especially at the home office. It's like, yes, we have cool jobs. We might get to even hop on the private jet from time to time. But at the end of the day, we are serving the guys and women out there that are running these restaurants. And at the end of the day, we're actually serving the customer that wants some hot food, and they want to be told that they matter, that they have dignity and respect, no matter who they are walking into our restaurants. And so when I became a parent, I had just spent years learning how to stop focusing on myself and climbing a corporate ladder, how to just serve others. And so that servant leadership and how to just lead like Jesus would really became a part of who I was. And that prepared me really well for parenting, because you all of a sudden realize you're not the big deal. It's these kids. And my poor husband has learned the hard way that he married somebody that can be self-absorbed, and I'm human, and Jesus has been still refining me in that process. And now that I've felt what that experience is like, is that I like it better that way. When I'm focused on others, I like who I am so much more. And that is a lot of what I talk about in the book, is how can I raise my kids now to experience it? That's the whole ball game. Jesus brought us here so that we can love on others and focus on their needs over ours. And so that if they can get generosity in their hearts, not just in their heads, and they can experience it through joy and the goodness of him, that they might actually really like it and not just run for the hills when they're in high school, like, I'm out of here. I'm leaving this faith family. It was too hard. So I think that was a lot of what started stirring in my heart as I left and became a stay-at-home mom, is I'm just not done here with creating work, using my creative brain, but I'm going to actually do it for moms. And it's become just so different than I even dreamed it would be. It started as a blog, and now it's products and books and all kinds of stuff.
Well, you were one busy lady, and we're going to dive into the book here in just a bit. Before we do, though, tell me about the ABC scripture cards, because I had not heard of those until I learned of you.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was the kind of the first thing that came. It was about a two-year wrestling. I was going to Andy Stanley's church at the time in Atlanta, and he really challenged our whole congregation that everybody's got a gift. Mine is particularly in the area of creative ideas and just execution of communication. And he just said, everybody's got something, whether it's money or time or a particular gift, everybody's got something. And what can you do with that for the kingdom? And so I was sitting on that as a stay-at-home mom, and I feel that's a high, high calling. And so I want to be clear that I have a ton of stay-at-home full-time with her kids, and I love. And I was feeling fulfilled in that area, but just had this unsettling that I was supposed to be doing something with that gift that is sometimes weird. I can't turn it off, but sometimes it can be used for really good. I use it for birthday parties and did some outrageous birthday parties for my kids that just made everybody really uncomfortable and set the bar too high in a Pinterest kind of way. So I thought, that's not it. And so as I started doing on what I felt like the marketplace was missing are things that not just look good in our home, they actually taught our kids at the same time. So for me, I wanted to be able to memorize scripture with my kids at the same time, have it stay out on my counter. So decorate and teach. And so I came up with ABC scripture cards, a line of 26 short and heavy cards that would sit out on my kitchen counter space or my desk. So as we went about life, and I heard you talking about meal times, that's so important for me to just, as we go about life, you know, have a positive environment. So it's not, hey, sit down, we're having scripture memory time. It said, hey, while they're running by and they might hit each other with a Barbie, what's the B verse? It's be kind and compassionate to one another. All right, let's do that one again. So it really came out of a need, truthfully, in our home. And they really took off because other moms like me said, yes, I need that too. And I memorized them all with my children, and we use them all the time. When they're scared at night, we say, what's the H verse? He cares for you. And so they've been such a blessing. And then Elizabeth Hasselbeck did buy them, and they went on The View. So that certainly didn't hurt demand. And then it took off from there and definitely took over our lives in a not good way from a balanced life standpoint. And so I was able to sell them to a manufacturer that got my family life balance back and still gets them in the marketplace. So a company out of Birmingham is now getting them into about 350 stores. And then just this month, Lifeway picked them up for all their stores, and they'll be in Lifeway stores in about mid-November, just in time for the holidays.
That is so cool. The ABC scripture cards, and we have not got them in our home, but now you've convinced me, you've sold me, as a great marketing person does.
How's that?
Maybe they'll be a gift for my wife. Maybe they'll be a little stocking stuffer for my wife, Lisa. So that sounds very cool. Now, we've got about just a minute or a half before the break, and I know we want to really spend most of the time looking at the book and some of the great ideas in your new book, but tell us about your blog, if you would, in just the next 90 seconds.
Absolutely. Yeah, I had a core group of friends that I met through small groups in North Point Community Church in Atlanta before we moved here. And our husbands were so gracious to say, you guys get out of here. You've been home all day with these kids, go. And we would go have coffee, and we would sit around the table and talk about just the very things I heard before you had me on here. I heard you talking about how critical it is to have family meals that we actually enjoyed each other. And how do we actually go through the day when it's so busy and you're so tired, but there's critical things to teach our kids? And we would debate these things. And I just thought, what if there was an online community that felt just like this, where we could be real and say, this is hard. I don't like it some days. I feel tired. My husband's getting his leftovers. I yelled at my daughter this morning. What do I do now? And so I thought, how do I expand this conversation? It feels so good.
Hey, you know, Courtney, I'm sorry. We're coming up on a hard break, but I want to dive into it. I want to hear more about the blog here in just a second. This is the Faith Radio Network. Our guest is Courtney DeFeo, and we'll be right back after this break.
The conversation continues right now, and we want to hear from you. Call us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. Now, here's Dr. Bill Meyer again on Faith Radio.
And if you jot that number down, 877-93-FAITH, call us in the next 30 minutes or so, and we'll put you into a drawing for a copy of Courtney DeFeo's book, In This House, We Will Giggle. I just love that title. In This House, We Will Giggle, Making Virtues, Love, and Laughter a Daily Part of Your Family Life. So call us, 877-93-FAITH. Give us your contact info, and at the end of the hour, three copies to give away. And especially if you're a mom or a dad with younger kids in the home, this would just be a great book for your home library. So by all means, give us a buzz. And you heard her mention those ABC scripture cards, which I just love that concept as well. Well, Courtney, before the break, I'm sorry I had to cut you off. We were coming up against a hard network break there, but you were talking about your blog and how that came about. You were at, I think, North Point Church in the Atlanta area, and you got this inspiration to be a mommy blogger. So tell us what happened.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm going to be more short-winded now. But, I just had a group of friends that I felt like were telling the real truth about motherhood in a way that built each other up. And so I, instead of asking all the famous blogger and author friends I knew at the time, I said, why don't I just gather my group of friends and let's just start sharing what we're learning and how God's growing us. And so we started sharing on this blog together in hopes that we could kind of do the journey together. And so that's how it started. And we have a great community going on where we can share, again, what God's teaching us and some of these ideas. And one particular idea made it into the book that I'll share called Light 'Em Up. And that was penned, I think, 140,000 times, and it's about kindness around Christmas. And so the blog community is pretty cool, what it can do and how it can share good things around the world.
Well, you can check it out, CourtneyDeFeo.com. Let me spell out your name for you, for them. It's D-E-F-E-A, I'm sorry, F-E-O. Why don't you spell it?
You got it.
Yeah, I got it right.
Courtney DeFeo, D-E-F-E-O.com.
Thank you. And you can go there today. Check out what Courtney's doing and some of her blogger friends. It's just a wonderful resource for moms, especially if you have younger kids in the home, as Courtney and I both do. All right, let's talk about this book for a second. In This House, We Will Giggle. The title caught me immediately. But then when I read a little bit of the description of the book, and the wonderful endorsement that Lisa Turkhurst from Proverbs 31 Ministries gave you, I thought, okay, I got to learn more about this lady and what she's doing here. And here's why. Let me just tell you honestly. We have an 11-year-old, a 9-year-old, and a 7-year-old at home. And lately, my wife and I have been feeling like we've been doing more lecturing than laughing. And Lisa and I both have, I think, a pretty healthy sense of humor, and we are pretty joyful, optimistic people just by nature. But because of some of the bickering that we've seen between our kids lately and some of the complaining and some of the, unfortunately, budding entitlement, I hate that, because you know how it is. My friend, everybody has a cell phone. Everybody has that video game. And we are fighting that like salmon swimming upstream with all the moms and dads, you know, the big salmon coming downstream and bonking us on the head. And our kids, unfortunately, interacting with other kids whose parents seem to, even Christian parents, seem to want to give them everything that, you know, to make them happy and to be their best buddy and, not to have them not like them. And we don't want to be that kind of parent. So we've been doing a bit of lecturing lately and a bit more disciplining than we'd like to be doing, but I saw the title of this book and I thought, you know, making virtues, love, and laughter a daily part of your family life. Did you and your husband naturally come about this, or did you find that you were starting to do more lecturing than laughing yourself?
You got it. I think what I envisioned was this exact house that would just be joy and laughter and grace and just beautiful. And then I had kids and I thought, oh no, I just hope that they don't go to jail and that they graduate. And it's just different once you have them. And, you know, I started realizing, especially once we tried 3 years ago, I was really wanting them to serve as little kids. I thought they've got to get this in their heart where we're not just writing the checks on generosity, that they're getting their hands and feet in the game and their minds and their hearts. And so we started that initiative. And I saw it take off. I saw them writing the posters and them taping it to the trash can with me to say, thank you for bringing our trash to us and picking up our trash all year long. We are so grateful. And they loved it. And then we said, okay, now sneak over to the neighbors and pick a neighbor. Now you write with the chalk, thank you for being a great neighbor. Now sneak over. We're going to go thank, you know, the people at Chick-fil-A. And it became this adventure for them and less about this lecture at the table that you guys have everything in the world. You need to be more generous kids. And that one moment and that Christmas just captured something in my heart that thought, those lectures aren't going to go away, and we certainly still have them in our home, but what if we flipped the table and thought more about how we bring them into the goodness, almost like taste and see that the Lord is good, and that they get it, like, I like that. I like the feeling of that, and that they enjoy it. And so I don't want to set your expectations that your kids are going to all of a sudden be skipping through the house and doing their chores, you know, with glee. They might. But, you know, each chapter has a different virtue. There's 12 virtues, and there's 12 family fun activities. And for the person that's not, you know, skipping along, singing, and has headgear on like me, there's ideas in there for you, too, to say, we're not totally wired like the DeFeo family, but this is kind of a conversation starter. How would we do this with our boys? How would we do this with the ages of our kids? And just try, don't change the virtues or what's in the Bible, because that's timeless, but maybe how we're going about it might look a little bit different, a little more joyful.
Now, I mentioned Lisa Turkhurst, president of Proverbs 31. Here's what she says about your book. I love Courtney's fun, practical ways to connect our kids with biblical truth while making family memories. An amazing resource. That's actually an amazing endorsement, because I'm guessing Lisa Turkhurst doesn't give that many endorsements. That means she liked it.
And I was really grateful for that, because I respect her a ton, and I was really thankful for that, because I know that she's one of her word, and she wouldn't have put that if she hadn't have read it. And so it meant a lot, for sure. Mm.
Okay, the first chapter of the book is called Joy, When the Reality of Life Meets a Heart of Gladness. Let's dive into that a bit.
Sure. Yeah, I think this month is all about just looking and observing. The activity is about being a field scientist, and how do we get our kids to kind of observe the public at large. And I think the interesting part is people assume that I am the most joyful, the happiest, the coolest mom on the planet. And I confess in there that I'm actually not the happiest parent. My husband is the joyful one, and I'm the grumpy one that wakes up in the morning. So I have to learn, how do you break that mood? Because I think women and moms are most often the chief mood officer of the home. And we can just wake up grumpy or something. They might demand their waffles a different way, and we're just mad. And so we actually start this cycle of, once mom's mad, everybody's mad. And so we have to, like, consciously, and I have to say, all right, I got to break this cycle. And I give some ideas on there, easy ideas in there about how we can break that mood cycle. And then the chapter activity in there is, how do we go about just observing joyful people? And is it just happiness, or is it true joy from the Lord? And you notice there's people at Hobby Lobby that are doing their job with joy. And it's like, what is it with them? Why? They have mean customers all day, but they're just happy in who they are. Or is there a teacher that she's been working 45 years and she's just joyful? And so we start this activity that we're almost going to just be like scientists out in the field in our community, and we're going to observe all month long. And I suggest January, but you can pick any month of the year, or you could pick a week and just say, now let's come together as a family and talk about that. And what does that look like? And even get real as a family and say, you know, mom is grumpy sometimes, and I'm really sorry about that, and I'm going to do a better job to say, I'm joyful just because God made us, and because we have eternal life, and because we have food, and there's so much to be joyful about.
You know, I have to confess, I'm the grumpy one in our family.
All right.
I never was.
Unite.
Courtney, I and you talked about this earlier, how, you know, when you got married, you were directly confronted with your own sin nature. And then when you had kids, you know, God really bonked you on the head with the reality of your depravity. And I have to admit, I thought I had it together, you know, as a single, and even as in our early marriage, I thought, you know, pretty good husband. I love my wife. I'm pretty romantic. I help her around the house occasionally, and then I had kids, and now I've got three, and lately I've just been saying, I don't want to be a grumpy dad. And
right.
when my kids are yelling and screaming at each other, and when my kids are, you know, again, starting to show those signs of entitlement like many of their peers.
Right.
And I have to point them back to the little pictures of the two compassion kids that we're sponsoring in Peru and say, hey, little Jose, he going to be lucky if he gets corn for dinner tonight. Okay.
Right.
If he gets a tortilla. And so we started having meager meals a few weeks ago on Monday nights. We have what we call a meager meal, and I have to give my wife credit for this, where we actually have a meal like a third world citizen might have. We don't have dessert. We certainly don't have any yummies. We're having, you know, beans and rice, and if we're lucky, maybe a little bit of tortillas or something. And we're just saying, this is millions of people are eating this tonight. And,
right.
and so in our family, we want to understand how blessed we are and be thankful and grateful to God that, first of all, we were born in this country. which has so much and so much freedom and unfortunately a lot of excess. But we are so privileged. And you guys, think of this. Look at this beautiful house you live in. And,
right.
And you don't have to worry about, you know, having clean drinking water or catching some terrible disease like Ebola. And, you know, and yet I admit it is a challenge. And sometimes when I'm getting into this lecture mode that I do, I get a little bit grumpy. So
right.
How do I stop myself? I guess I have to maybe start this little gladness journal myself, this field journal, and start noticing the people in my own sphere of influence that are, you know, always full of joy and light and laughter and butterflies, which I'm.
Yeah. Well, I would say notice the good in them because they're doing a lot of things right. Your kids are. And at some point, I think we have to lower our expectations. They are kids. And they don't have the perspective that we do where we've seen the poverty. We've seen what, you know, the crisis as orphans. I mean, we know what's going on, and they're still little. And so I think as we expand their perspective, that's a huge thing to do. I plan to take my kids on mission trips. I plan to take them and expose their world where they can see it. They don't just – and we have Compassion Kids as well, so that's one way to do that. But I think we keep expanding their perspective. We serve homeless at Christmas. We take donuts and coffee so they see that, no, they didn't have breakfast today, and we're going to help them with that. So continue to do that. And then on your correction, I think we provide too much conversation and too much rationalization when, you know what, we are the parents at the end of the day, and we can just be consistent and short. And so we've decided you won't get a cell phone until this time. We'll get back to you. You know, we want to keep explaining and teaching, and it's like we can be short and sweet and say, this is the deal on that. And same with chores. You brought that up earlier. We can say, these three things you're going to do every day because you're part of the family. There's really not a lot of discussion around that. But there's other things I want us to start involving them and getting their opinions and say, you can actually work for something you're excited about. I want their motivation to sort of fuel them and say, are you really excited about a bike or American Girl doll or, you know, something new for their room? I would love for you to work for that. What would you be excited to do? Do you like to dust? Do you like to sweep? Do you like to mow the lawn? Do you want to care for a neighbor's yard? What? You tell me what motivates you to reach that goal, and let's come up with some chores that would be really helpful for mom and dad, and you be a part of the family. So I think part of it is giving them some choice and getting them excited about it in some way. But at the end of the day, some of this is work, and they're not going to really be jumping for joy and giggling sometimes over work.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. No, you're giving some great advice, and I must say, you know, as a family psychologist, many of the things you say are right out of the psychology textbooks, especially the no over-explaining and the no rationalization. I know this particular clinical psychologist who has this great expression. It's act, don't yak. And we got a lot of parents doing a lot of yakking these days and a lot of kids trying to engage their parents in debate. Act, you know, have the consequence. Be
exactly.
Firm. You don't have to be your kid's best buddy. In fact, if you're trying to be your kid's best buddy, you're going to end up raising kids who are going to have a lot of struggle in life. I often say to parents, when I was working in the inner city, Courtney, I was working with low-income families, often fatherless homes, moms with 3, 4, or 5 kids, you know, all by different dads sometimes, and dads in, you know, on the street or in jail or in gangs or dead. And these moms, many of them, came from, you know, very difficult backgrounds themselves, drug and alcohol abuse, and did not know how to parent. They might have had their kids, you know, when they were 15, 16, started having kids then, and didn't know really how to have boundaries. And so we would try to teach them through these parenting workshops. And I would often say to them, I would say, if you don't parent your kids now, it will be the police and the courts parenting them in just a few years. And unfortunately, that happens all too often. So I'm glad to hear you say that. Act, don't yak is a great corollary, I think, for all of us. Let's take a quick break, Courtney. And I do want to mention again, we have 3 copies of the book to give away. If you give us a call here at the Faith Radio Network, we would love to put you into a drawing. The number is 877-93-FAITH, 877-93-FAITH. And at the end of the hour, if we've got your contact info, we'll give you a copy of Courtney's book. It's 11:46. This is the Faith Radio Network. We'll be right back with Courtney DeFeo after this.
Now back to Dr. Bill Meyer live on Faith Radio.
And welcome back. Let me encourage you to join my colleague Neil Stavem on Monday for his program Connecting Faith at 12 noon. On Monday, he's going to be talking to Dr. Walt Mueller. Walt, fascinating guy, been in ministry for over 35 years, and he is a president of the Center for Parent-Youth Understanding, a nationally known expert on youth culture, and he's going to be helping us respond to the complex world of children and teens from a uniquely Christian point of view and offer insight into how to raise kids that are healthy, spiritually grounded adults. That's coming up Monday, 12 noon, Connecting Faith with Neil Stavem. By the way, you can get our entire broadcast schedule at our website, myfaithradio.com. And let me just give a little plug in here. If you didn't get a chance to participate in our share event a few weeks ago, you can still make a gift to the Faith Radio Network to help keep us on the air. We don't play commercials here. We depend on your support and would love to have you get involved as a regular monthly giver. Any amount is always appreciated, and you can find out more at myfaithradio.com. Just click on the tab there to learn about the share event and a little note from my friend Dick Whitworth as well. Well, our guest here is Courtney DeFeo, and she's the author of In This House We Will Giggle, Making Virtues, Love, and Laughter a Daily Part of Your Family Life. Her website, CourtneyDeFeo.com. It's D-E-F-E-O. And Courtney, your book, as we mentioned, is just chock full of great advice, practical, fun activities for families. And you really get into the whole list of biblical virtues, joy, love, forgiveness, faith, patience, perseverance, respect, responsibility, service, humility, gratitude, and generosity. We can't get into all of those today, but let's just jump into a couple of activities and a couple of things that you teach in this book. How about patience? Because, boy, oh, boy, today kids just, they want it, and they want it now. And I try to talk to my middle child especially about the importance of being patient. And often there's a lot of whining that occurs when something's not happening right away. And that's disturbing as a dad. So yeah. how do we teach our kids to be more patient?
Well, it's funny you asked me that because I'm child just conned me into opening all of her gifts, and her birthday is Thursday, so clearly we're still working on this at our house. But one of the things that I do in each chapter is try to put the words, because these are big words for some of our kids, I try to give them a definition that we can use at home. So when I say, be patient, Larson, be patient, Ella, I say, what does that mean, girls? What does patience mean? And they say, waiting with a happy heart. Mm. And so these definitions are for them to just understand it in a way that they can understand it. And so they know that one very well. And so if we're at a restaurant or we're at school and they want something from the book fair again, and I say, girls, we are not going to get that pen today. What does patience mean? Waiting with a happy heart. So we're going to have to wait and not be grumpy about that. So we try to put it in words that they understand. But this activity I just love, and it could go so many different ways depending on the age of your children. But you essentially give them two bags, and in one, they know exactly what's in it. They know it's a piece of candy or, you know, a piece of gum. And then in the other bag, it's something that they have to wait for, but they don't know what's in it. And we just say, it's better, and you can't have it, and not you cannot know what it is. But if you'll trust me, it will be better. So you can have today's candy, or you can wait for something better tomorrow. And they have to make that choice. And so I think it's such good practice for them to go ahead and do something simple like that, to know it's actually what God does in our lives. You can have something today. Go for it. It's a simple pleasure. Or if you trust, God's got something way better in store for you down the road. But it hurts. It's hard to wait, and especially when they're little. They just want that gum right then. And so maybe a sibling will choose it, and the other one will take the gum today. But it may, in the side, they may have the ingredients to making 24 cupcakes, or it may be the ingredients to a cake, or it may be a toy they've been waiting on. And so as a parent, you know what motivates them for the two bags. And so I think it's just an exercise to just show them that it's practical, but it's also very biblical, the idea of patience.
Mm, and something mom and dads can learn about as well.
Amen.
Yeah. Another chapter you have on perseverance, pressing on through life's challenges. And we, with our oldest right now, our oldest is a very bright young man. He's just entered middle school and does well academically. But what's interesting about Joseph is Things have always come pretty easy to him because he is a smart kid, and you know, he's been identified as gifted, thank the Lord, and he's good at music and some other things. And so when something comes up that's difficult, that's a challenge, that doesn't come naturally easy to him, he gets very frustrated and often wants to give up. He's learning a new instrument right now, and it's not easy. And so he's like, well, this isn't as easy as playing the piano, which was came pretty easy to me. So I really don't want to practice, and it's frustrating, and I'd rather do something fun. How do we teach the very important character quality of perseverance?
Yeah, this chapter is full of a lot of material, and so I would encourage you to definitely check it out. So I'll just touch on a couple of the ideas, but the definition here is working hard and never giving up. And my girls actually came up with this definition during the Rainbow Loom craze. I was getting so frustrated with that Rainbow Loom bracelet making, and my daughter would not give up. She kept watching YouTube videos, and they would break apart, and she would go back and say, Mom, I'm going to figure this out. And I said, Ella, you're not giving up. And I was ready to toss the thing out the window, and I said, that is our definition, L, right there, working hard and never giving up. And so that is perseverance. And the activity, what I love about many of the ideas in this book is that we want them to practice and learn and discuss these things when the stakes are not so high. When they're on the field and they're learning a new sport and they're crying and their friends are there, it's embarrassing. And that's not the time for a lecture or a teachable moment. And so perseverance, the family activity, is actually something pretty silly. It's called Family Olympics. You can get three or four families together sometime in the summer, and we just set up all these different obstacles, and you get a team name and a flag, and we may do water relays, or we may do, you know, there's all kinds of activities in there, and we have done it for 4 years, and there is so much laughter and joy, and then there's tears. There's kids that are just so competitive. They are crying because they can't figure out how to do the activity, but that's a safe place with your good friends to pull them aside and say, this is the Family Olympics. Like, we're talking silly string here. There's no medals, no Olympic medals. There's no grades on the line. Like, pull it together. We're going to work hard as a family, and we're not going to give up. And so we felt like it's a safe place for them to be uncomfortable, learn some new tasks, and not when it's so embarrassing, you know, right there on the high school football field or right there when the grade matters. So it's a great tradition for our family, and we hope you'll try it.
Great. In the 2 minutes we have left, Courtney, tell us about fostering an attitude of gratitude in a culture that just wants everybody to have everything right now, and with kids that are becoming increasingly entitled.
Yeah, I think entitlement is a huge issue and frustration, and I think you feel it as tweens and high schoolers, and I definitely was frustrated with it, and my parents were frustrated with me, but I think now is the time when our kids are little just to start opening their eyes. So Give Thanks Bag is just a simple bag. You can just write on it with a marker, and whenever you can during that month, just say, hey, run through the house, each of you, and find five things you're thankful for, and then come back and show us, almost like that good old show and tell. And then the twist on it, which I love, is now, thanks for showing us. Now go back and find five things that you're thankful for that you're willing to give away, because somebody needs one of these things. And they look at you with these big eyes now like, wait, that's changing the game. So they have to go find five things that they would give to a friend or someone in the homeless community or someone far away, their compassion child or something, and just show that we're so grateful, but none of this is really ours, so we can get rid of it, and we can give it to somebody who really needs it. So that's the idea in that chapter.
Great. And again, such a very important skill in today's world. Courtney, I want to thank you so much for your time today and for this wonderful book. I want to highly recommend it to any parent who's listening today, or grandparent as well. And even if you're in youth ministry or children's ministry, this might be a great book for you to give and share some of these ideas with the parents that you shepherd. The book is called In This House We Will Giggle, Making Virtues, Love, and Laughter a Daily Part of Your Family Life. Courtney DeFeo's website is very easy. It's just her name, Courtney DeFeo, DeFeo.com, DeFeo.com. And you can read some of her wonderful blog entries there, see some photos of her and her wonderful family. Courtney, thank you. And we appreciate what you've brought to the table today, some great advice, some godly counsel, and I just pray that God will continue to open doors for you and your gifts and your talents, and that he'll bless you in your role as a wife and a mom.
Hey, thank you, and I'm so encouraged at what you're doing as well, so I appreciate your time.
Courtney DeFeo, our guest here on the Faith Radio Network, Want to wish you a wonderful weekend. Coming up next, it's Neil Stabem's Saturday edition of Connecting Faith here on the Faith Radio Network. See you later. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Dr. Bill Meyer Live. If you'd like more information about this show, just go to myfaithradio.com and click on the program page for Dr. Bill Meyer Live.